So let's go back to optimality conditions. Okay? Up to now, we have this kind of optimality condition, and furthermore, we have this link between the geometry of the physical region and its algebraic representation. Okay? Through the tangent cone and the linearization. Okay, let's see. This is the optimality condition we have. This color product is greater or equal than zero whenever you take a direction in the tangent cone of the tangent cone. Okay? Necessary optimality condition for local optimality. Let me rewrite it in another way. Okay? In an equivalent way. Absolutely equivalent. Which is the following. Consider it as a system. Okay? We want to find x bar is given, f is given, we want to find some d such that this color product is negative and d belongs to the tangent cone. The impossibility of this system is another way of saying this necessary optimality condition. Why is this the same? Here we are saying the scalar product is negative, is non-negative, whichever direction you choose. Okay? And here I'm saying, well, it's impossible to find a direction in the tangent cone such that the scalar product is negative. Okay? Are two ways to tell exactly the same. Okay? Let's say that here you say it in a positive way and here you say it in a negative way. Okay? You see, this happens always, and here you say you are saying that its negation cannot happen. Okay? Well, why is this relevant? Well, this is relevant because here we will have tools. Okay? Tools to study systems. Well, now I will use this. This linearization with less is contained in the tangent cone. Okay. Now, let's consider the system in which I replace the tangent cone with this linearization cone. Okay? Well, clearly, this is a weaker condition. Okay. How can you prove this implication? Well, it's easy. Suppose this system has a solution. By contradiction. Suppose this has a solution. Okay? So this scalar product is negative. And it belongs to this linearizing set. But if it belongs to the linearizing set, it belongs also to the tangent cone. Okay? So, the same D satisfies also this system. Is clear? Chiaro? Se D è una soluzione di questo sistema, è una soluzione anche di questo, perché questo qui è un sottinsieme di questo qua. Okay. So, if we replace the tangent cone with this linearization cone, we further weaken the condition. So, this is the next step. So, we have that f is a local minimum. implies this optimality condition can be rewritten in this way, which implies these other conditions. Okay? So this is a necessary optimality condition. A bit weaker because, let's say, you are testing optimality on a smaller set of directions. And once again, I'll show you another way to write this. We have an explicit description of the linearizing cone here. Well, rather than writing D belongs to L less, we could write these conditions. Okay? So, it is this means also that it is impossible to find the solution of this system. You would like to find a direction D such that all these inequalities are satisfied. I've written exactly the same thing. But now we have a system which is described only by our data, objective function and constraining functions. Okay? So this is also a necessary optimality condition. It is not possible to find a vector D such that it has negative scalar product with the gradient of F at the point and with all the gradients of the active constraint functions. Okay? And this is the tool. There is this is a linear system, okay? Because all these are given vectors, okay? The point is given, the functions are given, so these are vectors of coefficients. So this is a linear system of inequalities. Okay? And there are a family of theorems that say that a certain linear system is impossible if and only if something else. Okay? A complete characterization of the impossibility of linear systems. You have seen one of these results in linear programming at the Open Research Research course, which is the so-called Farkas lemma. Okay? If you go back to your lecture notes in the chapter of linear programming, you will find one of these results, Farkas lemma, is a theorem of Dilger. It states that the system is impossible if and only if another condition. Okay? Now, I will state, with no proof, a very general theorem of the alternative, okay, and then we will exploit it in different ways, okay, today and in the next lecture. And it is so general that somehow it contains almost all the theorems of the alternative for linear systems, okay. So I will write it here. And it is called the Motzkin theorem. Of the alternative. It's a result from linear algebra which dates back to the 1930s.
which can be proved with techniques which were not available in the 30s nowadays, but they prove it through long, boring linear algebra computations. Okay? Actually, with some advanced mathematics, you can prove it in a few lines. Okay? Advanced mathematics is not really that advanced. The tools are taught to students at the generally at the third year of a mathematical degree. Okay. Let's say they have calculus 1, calculus 2, and then you will learn the techniques to prove this in calculus 3. Okay. But you just do calculus 1 and something more by me. So, but if you go on all textbooks, you can find the proofs which are made only of linear algebra boring passages. So, but I'm not interested in the proof. I'm interested in the result. Okay. So you have. I will call them this way. Three sets of indexes. Okay? I mean, we are finite. I mean, this is made by 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the other is made by 6, 7, 8. The other is made by 10, 12, 100, and so on. Okay? The only relevant thing is that the first of them has to be non-empty. Okay? The other two may be empty. Then we discuss what it means if they are empty. Then we have vectors in Rn, okay? Let's say Ak in Rn, Bf in Rn, and Cj in Rn, where K belongs to the first index set, L belongs to the second index set, and J belongs to the third index. Okay? So, these index sets are the indexes of these vectors. Okay? Now I'm stating that a particular system is impossible, has no solution, if and only if something happens. And the system is the following. The system. These are the coefficients of the system. AP transpose D less than 0 for all K I minus. BL times D less or equal than 0 for all L in I less or equal. And CI transpose D is equal to 0 for all J in I equal. So this is the system. As no solution, okay, and then I write the condition. So here you have, okay, A1D less than 0, A2D less than 0, and then B 10 d less or equal than 0 and so on, c 100 d equal 0 and so on, you have a set of linear inequalities, two kinds, with less and less or equal, and linear equalities. Okay? And you look, given this coefficient, for a vector d which satisfies this. Okay? And you can say that this is the leading possible as a non-solution, if and only if. There exists numbers. Delta k greater or equal than 0, lambda l greater or equal than 0, mu j in Rn,
in Rn.
No, in R. Okay. Mu j, clearly for all indexes. Such that not all theta k are zero. I mean, at least one of these theta k has to be different from zero. And here is the relevant condition. The sum over k of theta k ak plus theta k is a number, ak is a vector, huh? So this is a vector, plus the sum over L of lambda L BL plus the sum over J of C of, sorry, of mu j cj is the zero vector. Okay. So you are given this coefficient ak bf Cj okay. This corresponding linear system is impossible as no solution if and only I can find values theta k greater or equal zero, but not all zero, at least one of them has to be positive, lambda L greater or equal than zero, they can be all zero, mu j, which can be positive or negative, such that if I take them as weights for these vectors, okay, this linear combination is zero. Okay. So I can always turn the impossibility of a linear system into some linear combinations of the coefficients to be zero. Okay?
system is possible if and only I have suitable coefficients such that the corresponding linear combination of the vectors given the linear system is zero. Okay? I mean, o risolvo il sistema, oppure riesco a prendere tutti i coefficienti e a metterci dei pesi opportuni in modo che la loro somma sia vettoriale. Just for your knowledge, one further detail. I just asked for this to be non-empty. Okay? The other index set might be empty. Empty. What does it mean? It is that one of them is empty. Okay? It means that here you don't have the corresponding inequalities or equalities, okay, and in the theorem you don't have the correspondent coefficients, okay, and this is the sum over an empty set, so it doesn't exist, okay. So this is a general form with some notation agreement to express many results together, okay. For instance, Farkas lemma is the situation in which this index set is made just by one index, okay? So you have just one strict inequality, and you have no equalities, okay? That is Farkas lemma. No equalities and just a unique strict inequality, and that is Farkas lemma. So if you go back to your operation research now and look for Farkas lemma, you will find that it is a particular case. Well, let's get slides here. We have around 20 minutes. Do you get why we are interested in this result? Well, here we have a system of this sort. And we know that it is impossible, that it has no solution. Okay? So we can apply that result. Okay? In which situation are we? Well, we have just strict inequalities, okay? It means that we are applying these theorems where these index sets are empty. So we don't have this, okay? So we don't have this, so we just have this term, okay? And which are our AK coefficients? Our AK coefficients are, I will express them in blue, are these ones. The gradient of F at the given point is one, and the others are the gradients of the functions GI. Okay, so we are applying Motzkin theorem where we have just strict inequalities. So no equalities and no inequality with less or equal. And our AKs are the gradient of F and the gradient of the functions GI with I So what does the theorem tell us? It tells us that there exists coefficient theta k not all zero such that The linear combination of this is so it means that there exists let's say theta to address this and theta I all greater equal than zero. Not all zero, such that the sum of these vectors with this coefficient is zero. We turn it into the impossibility of the system. We turn it in the impossibility of another system. Actually, we don't turn it. We know that this implies the impossibility of another system. And this system, by Minkowski's theorem, the impossibility of this system can be turned into this condition. Okay? So we proved somehow, given Minkowski's theorem for granted, that at a local minimum point, x bar of our optimization problem, there must exist coefficients theta and theta I for all I which are indices of active constraint, such that this linear combination is zero. The coefficient has to be greater equal than zero, and they cannot be all zero. If they are all zero, this is obvious, okay? Because this is here and this is here. Well, this is a theorem, and it's called the Fritz-John necessary optimality condition theorem. So I'm stating it formally. Well, there is something I want to add before stating it formally, because I'd like to do something else. Well, first of all, allow me to change name here. Okay, this lambda, this theta I are generally called lambda I. Okay. Sorry, but I should update my notes, because in this theorem they are theta k's. Okay, so I shouldn't have called these lambdas somehow. But I just changed it. But I want to do something. This sum is over only active constraints. Okay? So I have these coefficients only for active constraints. Well, I'm doing a trick. Let's set lambda I to be zero, okay, if the constraint is not active. Okay? Well, I could make the sum over all I, but this has to be zero. Okay? And now I show how I can rewrite them to be zero. Because, okay, let's write it as a theorem. Fritz John says the following. If x bar in capital S is a local meaning, point of C, then there exists theta greater or equal than zero, lambda I greater or equal than zero for all I from 1 to m, not all zero, and all means theta plus lambda I, such that now I write this condition, theta times the gradient of f plus the sum of lambda I, the gradient of gi, all over all I is zero. And now I have also to make sure that if a constraint is not acting, lambda I is zero. And I write it this way, lambda I, gi, x bar is zero for all of I. Let's check this last condition. If the constraint is not active, okay, this is negative. This is not zero. Active means that this is zero. So this is not zero, so this has to be zero. Okay? So I can make the sum here over all I adding this condition, because if the constraint is not active at the point, the coefficient has to be zero, and so I'm going back to this. Okay? This plus this is exactly this. Okay? Now, this is pretty nice because we have what is this? A system of equations. Okay? This is called multipliers rule, where multiplier is the name for these coefficients. Okay? These coefficients are called multipliers. Okay? Multiplicador. Okay? Because you multiply the vectors for those coefficients. Okay? And this other condition is saying that one of these two things must happen. The constraint is active, or the corresponding multiplier is zero. Okay? If this is not active, this has to be zero. So multipliers are non-zero only at active constraints. You have one multiplier for each constraint, and they have to be zero if the constraint is non-active, and this is called complementarity slackness. Complementarity in the sense that the two things are complementary to each other. Okay? You have one or the other, or maybe both. Remark. Well, looks a nice theorem. Okay, I could have stated at the beginning. Remember, it's not very different from our previous for our initial example. In that example, we have that the gradient of f plus 1/2 the gradient of the first constraining function plus 1 times the gradient of the second constraining function was zero. Is this kind of condition? Is this kind of condition where you have, where we have here one? Okay. Here we have, and this is very relevant, that Not all these multipliers can be zero, otherwise this condition is obvious, but we are not saying that this is non-zero. This might be zero. What happens if this is zero? Read this optimality condition with theta equals zero. This is not here. What do you notice? What is missing from the optimality condition? The objective function. Okay. The weak point of this optimality condition is that here the objective function may disappear.
Okay. Well, if the objective function disappears, well, it's not a very good optimality condition, okay? Because it depends only on the feasible region. It's a bit strange, okay? Well, I want to take this, so I can take out this.
Theta to be zero, what happens to the multiplier? It becomes this, and it means that you have a linear combination with non-negative coefficients of this gradient, which is zero. What is this saying about these gradients? Well, it says that they are linearly dependent vectors. Okay, because this is not here, and this, you have these vectors and you manage to find coefficients in such a way that their linear combination is zero, is the zero vector. So they are linearly dependent. So, if we have an assumption, or if we are lucky that these gradients are linearly dependent, this coefficient cannot be zero. It has to be positive. Okay? And therefore, dividing by theta, you can suppose it to be one. Okay? So this gives rise to the Kanaanic version of the three-John necessary optimality condition, which are called the Kerr-Schumacher optimality condition, which say the following, which is similar to what that we had before. We have a local minimum point. That the gradient of the constraining functions which are active at the given point, in the given point, are linearly independent. Then, theta can be taken equal to 1 in Fritz-John theorem, so Fritz-John theorem becomes, there it is, non-negative lambda such that the gradient of x in a given point plus the sum over all I of lambda I, the gradient of g I at the given point in the zero vector, plus the complementarity slackness function. Okay? You move from
theorem on the left to this theorem on the right,
just exploiting this simple consequence of the multiplier.
Okay.
So you can take the multiplier corresponding to the objective function to be 1. Okay. This rule is also known as Lagrange multiplier rule. I've given you a number of names. Fritz John was one person, Karish was another person, Kuhn was another person, Tucker was another person. I think Kuhn is still alive. Lagrange is Giuseppe Lagrange from the 18th century. A number of names. Okay. All of them but Lagrange are from the 20th century. Okay. But the very first optimality conditions were given by Lagrange at the end of the 18th century. Okay? Actually dealt with the case of equality constraints, but these are the formulas he came with. Okay? And then at the end of the 30s you have the results by Carus, by Fitzjohn, and soon after the Second World War, Kuhn and Tucker elaborated all this material. Okay? And indeed, generally, the optimality conditions are also in the optimization community are generally referred to as KKT conditions. Okay? Some forget about them and say KT. Okay? The story is funny because Karush did all this work in his master thesis at the University of Chicago before the Second World War, but he did not publish them in scientific journals, and then they came up with the same results after the Second World War. And so sometimes he's forgotten. Now we are guaranteed that the objective function is relevant in the optimality condition. Okay? Because the coefficient is 1. This cannot disappear. Well, there are a number of remarks we can make. I just will give you the easiest. Okay? First remark. Consider a situation in which, inside our feasible regions, the gradient of the objective function takes value 0, is the 0 vector. Okay? We have been doing all this stuff about optimality condition because I told you in the beginning, well, the feasible region can be in such a way that the gradient never vanishes in the region. But it may happen, okay? Notice that if you have a point at which the gradient is 0, these optimality conditions are satisfied. Because you can take all these lambda i's to be 0. Okay? Or if you want, in Fritz John theorem, you take this to be 1 and all the others to be 0. So, stationary point of F satisfies the KKT conditions. Second remark, suppose that you have that the KKT conditions are satisfied by lambda 1, lambda n, and lambda bar 1, lambda bar n.
Okay? So you can write this equation with lambda I. Now let's say lambda f. Okay? And lambda bar are satisfied by the lambda hat and the lambda bars. Okay? Then you they are so you have that the gradient of f plus lambda sum over lambda f I is gradient from g I to 0, but you also have the same thing with the lambda bar. Okay? Subtract, make the difference between these vector equations, okay? This and this disappear, and what you get is that the sum of lambda I of lambda hat minus lambda bar for the by the gradient is zero. Okay? I'm doing it fast, it's just a note. What you get? Well, you get a linear combination of the gradients, which is zero. But you know that the gradients are linearly independent. So these coefficients have to be zero. So lambda hat and lambda bar have to be the same. So, I've very fast given you a proof that those multipliers are unique. If we have these assumptions, the multipliers are unique. Good or bad news, I don't know. Indeed, this assumption is wrong. Okay? Notice, it's an assumption on the feasible region, on the behavior of the gradients at the given point in the feasible region. So it's a property of the feasible region. But it's very strong because it gives you that this multiplier rule has a unique solution. This system of equation has a unique solution in terms of multipliers. It's very strong. Indeed, on Tuesday, I will tell you that we can pass from here to here, I mean from Fritz John condition to KKP condition under weaker assumption. Every assumption which allows to move from Fritz John condition to KKP conditions are known as constraint qualifications. Okay? Are conditions of the constraint on the feasible region such that you can pass from here to here. Okay? And we will see them on Tuesday.